Hello and welcome to the Persephone program for October 3rd, 2022. And today I would love to talk about the month of October's astrology and also about energy levels or how to use your own natal chart to kind of, correlate or gauge energy levels seasonally. So we'll talk about that at the end. But first, I want to say that I don't know about you guys, but it has been a freaking shit show, hasn't it? Wow. Firstly, I have been sick for the past week. Very ill. It felt like COVID. Deep cough, which is still there. So I apologize if I'm a little raspy. Out of breath, fever, brain fog, loss of smell. But guess what? I tested 3 times and apparently it's not COVID. It feels very similarly to when I had Delta back last year in 2021, which I know because I had so many PCRs, but I had the Delta virus version of COVID, and of course got it from E, which I got this one from too, of course, because he travels the world and what can you do? But anyway, I have felt like just really bad and I haven't posted on social media. I've been taking a little break and I have heard from a few friends that you have as well. So it's interesting seeing who's got energy and who doesn't, and who's been during the Mercury retrograde and the retrograde summer that we had, just sort of more introverted and more introspective than usual, and who has felt that they have had energy to move forward. So we'll talk about that. And I want to apologize for not podcasting much. I really have all these ideas. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh my God, I'm going to do a Stranger Things astrology podcast. I'm going to do a podcast on charts of, you know, things I'm fascinated in, like, you know, charts of death and death celebrities and, you know, looking, just whatever it may be, I'm thinking about it, you know, and wanting to post on it or podcast, and oh, it's a great idea, but I just haven't felt called. And I am someone who primarily functions on instinct and intuition. So, you know, just haven't done it. But I'm feeling the switch, as I do every year, a little bit more energy. Not so much today, but I feel very called to do this for you and get this information out. Now, there are, you know, 3,700 different astrologers for you to follow and different forecasts. And of course, you know, feel called to listen, but understand that, you know, the astrology is the astrology and you're kind of more listening to the astrologer, if that makes sense. And it's all going to be hopefully similar, but in a little bit of a different vein. So here's my take on October. So here we are, of course, quite a bit has happened. We had, gosh, I think it was October 1st, we'd had a Venus opposing Jupiter aspect, and we had Mercury direct, which was Mercury stationed direct yesterday, which was October 2nd at 24 degrees Virgo, which is both a Mercury's, I think it's dineural or nighttime domicile. And it's also exaltation. So Mercury likes to be in Virgo. You know, Mercury has rulership in astrology over Gemini and Virgo. So it likes to be in Virgo. And so we have a 24 degree. We had the Mercury retrograde in Virgo and man, wasn't it strong. We had, you know, aspects to Neptune. It's just been wild. But now it's direct, and so things will begin to emerge. So as Mercury begins to move forward and pick up speed, projects will get off, you know, people will call you back. Things will begin to start moving. So you can count on that, okay? And, you know, it's going to start to move. I want to mention that October's astrology is filled with a lot of energy. you know, this month we have Mercury direct, Pluto and Saturn. So that's a lot, right? We've got Pluto direct, I think on the 7th, we have the 8th. And then Saturn finally turns direct at the end of this month. So we've got a lot of like beginning to move things forward. So the things that have kind of sat and festered and not moved forward, you know, over the last 4 months or so, we'll get that. And certainly over the last 3 weeks. But the first week, we've got, you know, the Mercury direct, which is the number one news. Things are going to start to move forward. And I also want to mention that the Saturn and Uranus square that was so prevalent and had three exact touches in 2021, you know, was waning this year. But because of the retrogrades, it has been very, very close. And on the 5th, which is in 2 days, so Wednesday, Saturn and Uranus will be very, very, very close, at least in the same degree of their square. They don't hit exactitude at all in 2022, but they are close enough. So we have that Saturn-Uranus, that freedom, you know, versus, you know, security, that liberation versus, you know, or forward movement versus tradition and security and privacy and safety and all that kind of stuff as represented by Saturn. And certainly the races, the political races in countries worldwide and the issues of these fascist, you know, strongman dictators versus, you know, the liberation of democracy, you know, or the idea of democracy and freedom, that is really rising up. It is in every country. When you look at like Brazil's race, we've got issues with, you know, in Europe, you know, issues obviously with the fascist dictators. I don't want to get into it, but that is a big theme. So we'll see that echoed in the news of the first week of October too. Liberation versus, you know, versus, you know, what a lot of people that subscribe to the idea of fascism is like tradition and security. They're looking at that patriarchal view that the strong man will protect us. It's okay to sit in that kind of oppression because it becomes safe, you know? On the 8th, Pluto is turning direct, and that will be a very positive thing for Pluto as well. Now, Pluto is such a slow-moving planet that we're not really going to feel it, but it's 26 degrees Capricorn, so we're finally moving out of the last degrees of Capricorn, and guess what, you guys? Pluto's moving to Aquarius next year. Now, it will also retrograde back into Capricorn, but that is a big deal, and more on that later. I'll do an entire episode. It's a big deal. We are changing themes. So there is change. I think progress and democracy will prevail, but we shall see. On the 9th, next weekend, we have a full moon in Aries. And, you know, we have a theme here of, you know, of aggression, but especially in regards to a lot of talk. You know, it's kind of because, you know, Mars is the ruler, you know, or the dispositor, as we call it, of the moon. And Mars is in Gemini and it squares lunation loosely. We have a lot of ideas of, I think, you know, all talk or, you know, bark rather than bite. So that will also come up. I think there's a lot going to come up around Donald Trump, around that full moon in Aries. We'll see. So we have that all going on. So there's, you know, there's issues here with Mercury moving into Libra on the 10th, I believe it is. And then on the 12th, Mercury will oppose Jupiter. And let me see. Yeah, that Mercury opposition of Jupiter is going to be interesting too. It's kind of the third of three oppositions starting that started in September. And so that is going to be really interesting. So a lot going on with Mercury in the first 2 weeks of October. So a lot of information coming out. And it, the idea here too of it being, is it like real? Is it not real? You know, that nebulousness there. On the 18th, Venus is going to trine Mars, which is very nice. So that's, you know, a helpful aspect. So by the 18th, the middle of the month, we have a lot of kind of helpful aspects. And although on the 19th, Sun will square Pluto, but Pluto is kind of weak right now, and the Sun is strong in Libra. So the Sun kind of, believe it or not, typically will, you know, Pluto trumps because it's such a slower moving planet. And the slower moving planets usually have more power. You know, they gain more momentum in all of their relations. But the Sun is really powerful right now. So I feel like something will come out around the 19th as well that may overpower the overlords. Kind of the last week of the month is where a lot of stuff happens. On the 22nd, Venus is going to be conjoined combust the Sun. So remember that, you know, when that happens, you know, Venus doesn't have a lot of power because the Sun is, you know, any type of planet, you know, that is within that orbit goes behind the Sun, we don't really see it. But we also have Saturn turning direct. And that is a really interesting and positive aspect. On the 23rd, it looks like we have the Venus. Yep, we've got Venus and the Sun both in Scorpio. So we have that movement into Scorpio season. And on the 25th, we have that Scorpio new moon solar eclipse with Venus. And we have Mars trine Mercury. So the solar eclipse, you know, eclipse times are going to be always kind of difficult and nebulous. This isn't a bad eclipse. I think that it, if you look at it like a secretive new moon, you know, it's accompanied with Venus, who is in Scorpio, which isn't the strongest placement for Venus. So there's something again that's secret and behind the scenes, and it's Venus ruled. So it may have something to do with the voting that's coming up in the midterms and women's rights issues. That'll be really interesting to see. And what is it? Looks like the 27th, we have Jupiter moving finally back to Pisces. So it's been in Aries for a long time. And it's retrograde right now. So it's moving back to Pisces. And I think we have Mercury into Scorpio on the 29th. So we've got a lot of Scorpio energy at the end of this month, perfect for Halloween. But before Halloween, we have on the 30th, the Mars retrograde. Okay. I've mentioned this. If you've had a reading with me, we have a Mars retrograde this year. It's an every 2 year occurrence and it is in Gemini. And, you know, back to that full moon in Aries at the beginning of this month, I think this has something to do with Trump, but, there's going to be a Mars retrograde in Gemini, for several months. It's mid-January, I believe, that it turns direct. And so we will all have an opportunity to review our actions, especially in regards to communication, the things that we have said, the things that we're thinking. So take a look where late degree Gemini falls in your astrology, and you'll know that the Mars retrograde is going to move through, well, actually most of the degrees of Gemini, from November and December into the second week of January. So a lot of energy in October, a lot around the energy of Mercury, of Gemini. We've got three planets direct. We have our first solar eclipse. And then our next lunar eclipse will be on Election Day in the United States, November 8th. And I'll talk about that later. So all that's happening. I'm feeling, even though I am still ill and it is depressing. So many people I know are ill and are going through things and are suffering. And if you're listening to this, you know that, you know, social media and the things that you see on the internet and everybody living a fabulous life and looking fabulous and traveling and being successful and getting their projects done is all really pretty much a crock of shit, because everybody goes through hard times. Everyone. Everybody has moments in their lives where their lives are like an inward drawing breath, and moments of times that life is like an outward breath, meaning that there are times where we go in to examine ourselves, to be quiet, to be still, where our thing, you know, where our lives cannot move forward. And there are times when they do. And, you know, this is whatever you have been struggling with personally, this is an extremely bizarre time in the world, and you are living through it. So pat yourself on the back. You know, you are here, you are present, you are learning, you are growing. And listen to your intuitive self. Listen to signs, symbols, and synchronicities from your own inner knowing. Not fear, but, you know, as you think about things and you get these, if they resonate and they provide you with a feeling of peace and calm, then this works for you, okay? For you, not necessarily for everyone else. So do listen to your own inner guidance and know that this month, you know, the forces at play are moving forward. You know, there's this big, you know, giant drama, you know, in the sky, in the world, and it is moving forward with its own volition and energy. And you're a part of it, you know, but trust it, trust the process, and get involved if you can too. Get involved. Don't walk away from important things like voting and talking to people about human rights and moving forward and moving into the new. Anyway, okay, so there's my little rant on that. But I also want to talk about energy. So I had mentioned earlier that I feel, not just with Mercury direct, but every year when the fall equinox happens, I feel better. I am not a summer person. I do not enjoy, it's not that I don't enjoy it, but I don't feel it my physically vitalized by summer. And of course, I've lived in the Northern Hemisphere my entire life, you know, and I've lived in California for most of my life. Now I live in Nevada. It's very similar, just a little bit hotter. But the reason why I've always felt so vitalized in fall, I feel vitalized in fall, is because in my own astrology, the sun rises over the top of my chart at that time. And that's an interesting thing that I want to bring up to you and talk about today, is that you can gauge your own energetic levels, the levels in which you feel externally energetic, and, you know, the time periods in which you feel internally energetic via the transits of the planets across the different hemispheres of your chart. So when the sun moves through the top of your chart, that is your midheaven, or when it begins to move through the 9th and 10th and 11th houses, that is your external self, if you will. That is the energetic external output that you share with the world. And so typically when the sun, which is our vitalized life force, and or sometimes Mars, moves, sometimes it's Venus, but, you know, typically it's Mars or the sun, moves, you know, by transit through those areas of your chart, you become galvanized, you become energized. And I find myself almost like waking up at this time of year. And it's been this way, you know, through most of my life, you know, that I feel energized from, I would say, like September through maybe like April or something like that, with some low points coming right, you know, right around Christmas and solstice and stuff like that. I feel usually kind of introspective then, and it makes sense too, because that's the time period that the sun is moving through my 12th house, you know. But typically, this is like my energy time. So take a look at where your midheaven or the very top of your chart is. You know, if you have, say, an Aries ascendant, right? Your 10th house would be Capricorn. So it would be actually like during the winter season that you're, you know, kind of feeling energized. You know, maybe you're somebody who likes to go skiing, or you like love Christmas or something. You know, it just, again, it sort of kind of depends on, you know, on your astrology. So looking at the very top of your chart is an interesting way of, you know, of gauging that. And any planet that moves across your midheaven or any of the four corners of your chart or the angles is going to engage them. And so when you think about what the angles are, you know, and what they mean, with, you know, your ascendant meaning how you are, you know, how you move through the world, you know, your personality, the energy that you put into your appearance and how you, you know, meet with other people, the kinds of things that you do, you know, to get what you want, I guess. And you're, it's kind of associated also with, you know, think about it like Mars too, you know, because the first house is also related to Mars and Aries. You know, your fourth house being Cancer is like, it's your most introspective time, right? It's whether, it doesn't matter what sign you have on it. This is that we're talking about the natural meaning of the angle. The IC is where you come from. It also kind of represents from a time standpoint, midnight, you know? So it's an introspective place and it represents where you come from and your foundation and your home. And so planets passing through that will create change, on a fundamental level, if that makes sense. And sometimes it's literal. Sometimes it's like your home, where you live, you know, how you approach things. It's a powerful, powerful, you know, angle. The seventh house, your descendant, is how you, you know, how you meet, you know, life through relationships, you know, especially one-on-one committed relationships. It could be a best friend or a business partner, but typically it's a romantic partner, someone that you have chosen to, you know, be serious with. And, you know, planets moving through that area of your chart is going to, you know, bring that planet's energy, you know, to you through other people, through those intimates, you know. So if you've got Mars, you know, transiting through your seventh house, which won't be a long transit unless it happens to be Gemini and you have Sag rising, you're going to meet the energy of Mars through your relationship. It could be that your partner actually gets super galvanized, gets super energetic, or is even maybe picking fights with you, or you need to review how you and your partner, you know, if there's a Mars retrograde, you need to review how you and your partner are behaving towards each other. Because Mars is very much about action, you know, and getting what you want. And, you know, if Venus is moving through there, you can easily get along with your partner. You can attract a partner. You know, it's about, you can have pleasurable experiences with your partner, the Venusian things. So, you know, thinking about planets transiting through the houses, especially on the angles, is very important. So even the sun, you know, which is going to pass through one of your angles, you know, at least four times a year, is an important, very important thing to look at. So, you know, I happen to know when the sun hits my midheaven, which is 23 degrees of Libra. And I always look and see, that's usually like about a week before, let's see what it is. It's 23. It's about a week before the end of Libra season. So I often, that's literally my most favorite time of year. I'm often decorating, you know, which I love to do. If you've ever been in my house, you know that I'm like a super big on like pillows and candles and pretty things, you know. I find myself feeling expanded from beauty in the fall. I literally love it. It's the time that I want to go shopping. It's the time that, you know, we decorate for fall, all that kind of stuff. So think about that. Like, where are the planets transiting and how are they hitting the angles for you? And think about it through the year too. Where does this, when does the sun move across your midheaven? You know, even the season, if you don't know, you know, your exact chart, or you don't know the degree of your midheaven, it's on your chart, but look at it and pay attention to it, because astrology, remember, it's nothing you need to believe in. Like, it's something for you to know about, to learn, so that you can begin to pay attention to the cycles and seasons of life and then attune yourself to them. That's what the wise people do, the wise women, the wise men, is they attune themselves to the season, and then they can use it. They can use the energy like a surfer uses a wave to move themselves and utilize the energy of the time in accordance with their own will to make their lives meaningful, to make them satisfying, vitalized, etc. So this October, it's time to begin to move forward, okay? Direct planets, moving energy, planets moving to new signs, the beginning of our eclipse season, a very important Mars retrograde. I would take a look at where you have Gemini in your chart and know that that is where you need to get rolling, okay? Because we've got Mars direct for, you know, pretty much the next 3.5 weeks. And it is strong and it is important. So I happen to have the Mars and Gemini in my sixth house of health. Isn't that interesting that I'm sick? And not only that, I'm working on, I recently went to the doctor and I got a full checkup. And I don't know if you guys know, but I'm, you know, in my mid 50s, and you know, they're working on all the levels, like, but I have to worry now about my blood pressure. I have high blood pressure, not super high, but high. Higher, it never used to be. It just suddenly one day became high. Well, it was a pandemic, but, and maybe my mom dying and various other things, but I have to be careful about blood sugar. I have to watch my health. I have to watch my diet. And of course, you know, like, I've never really had to do that before. So makes sense, right? So there's Mars in transiting through my sixth house of health. I'm sick. I have to pay attention to that too. Well, I kind of knew why. I got run down a little bit and, you know, got it for me. But still, I have to put energy into that. And when the Mars retrograde happens too, I'm going to need to, like, really review the things that I do, how I'm eating, how I'm living my life, the sixth house things, the habitual daily rituals, food, nutrition, diet, exercise. Very simple, okay? But I have to use that sort of general Virgoan energy, because remember, the sixth house is Virgo, to review how to discriminate appropriately so that I can create, I need to get disciplined and create, you know, the right kind of lifestyle for myself now in my 50s. So that's the kind of thing you can do too. Where is Mars in your astrology? Work on it. And then during the retrograde, review the steps that you've taken. Because you don't have, you know, everybody thinks that they have to, like, just make a decision and then move forward. And it's like, no, you get to review it. I think that's an important process. You write and you edit. You live and you review your choices. You know, life is a series of choices, and reviewing those choices is as important as making them. And one other thing that I want to mention too before we finish up is that if you're waiting for your cup to fill up, okay, waiting for life to happen, things haven't worked out, you know, understand that that is an important process too, okay? Because it allows you to get closer to what it is that you truly want. And that may change, you know, it does change and grow as you change and grow in your life. And so taking that time to sort of, like, pivot, pay attention to yourself, is not being lazy, you know, you're not the victim of bad luck or anything like that. It give yourself some time to figure out what it is that you want now. We've all been through a really tremendous time of change, and we're still in it. We're not, you know, things will begin to get clearer, I think, after the midterm elections in next year. But we've got a couple years of massive change ahead of us. And we can steer the ship if we collectively work on intuiting and sounding out our own inner truth, learning to grow and change and progress, not looking at the past, but looking at our future and what it is that we need now. What we need is change, tradition, whatever, none of that is relevant. Our constitution needs to change. Our governments need to change. Why? Because we're evolving and changing as a world. So we need to continue to grow and change and look to the change, the adaptation, the evolution. That is what I think the universe seems to prompt and reward is change and growth, not staying the same. All right. That is my two cents. Not going to be doing a lot of personal readings. I am still plugging away at my book and it's progressing. I am going to take a few vacations at the end of this year, but I will have, openings, here and there if you want a reading. But I am going to take a little bit more time off. So do get in and book while you can. Okay. Cause I know I'm going to take like half of the last 2 weeks of December and most of January off. I am going to take, probably at least like the first week of November and the last week of November will not be working. So I have a lot open right now. So if you want to book a time with me, you know, feel free to. Meanwhile, enjoy October, keep the faith, visualize, your outcome, and focus your will into riding the winds of change into the newness of our future. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And I wish you all so much wellness and happiness and joy.